Dr. Shabir, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
It's my pleasure to be on.
Now, we're getting many questions from people who are watching our show and saying, well, I want to know more about Islam. Where do I start? Mm-hmm. What's your advice for them?
Well, one simple way is to go on the web, and people are already doing that anyway. But one has to be discriminatory between, like, where you're going to get your information from. Just as we're not going to read the tabloids and the regular newspapers and equate the two, we might read the tabloids more for her fun, to laugh about the way in which people put things in the tabloids.
But someone starting out, they don't have that ability to discern, you know, what's good information and what isn't.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so then in that case, it's a good idea to go to whatever website you're visiting and go to Home or About Us and find out, like, who's behind this website, like, what does it represent? Is it coming from a major Islamic center in your hometown? Is it coming from a major Islamic center in another town that is well known and well recognized among Muslims? Is it coming from a reputable Muslim body that is qualified to issue verdicts and rulings about the Islamic faith and so on? So one gets a sense. And of course, we don't have to restrict ourselves to only one mode of thinking, but we can become more familiar with the variety that is out there and recognize why they're different. Mm-hmm. So there could be a website with very strict rulings about the Islamic faith, and you can tell from the rulings, like, this thing is impermissible, that thing is impermissible, that thing is impermissible, and you can tell that this is a hardline approach. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can go to the other extreme and find that some site is saying that almost everything is permissible, in which case one might feel that this is like a watered-down version of the faith. And then you can find many things in between. And what is in between? It is that golden mean between the two extremes that is often on the right track. So one has to do a little bit of homework and find that golden mean and gravitate towards that. But in any case, to have this broader view and knowing what is out there. So that's at the one level, to look at the websites, to make sure that you're getting your information from a reputable site, not just simply any site. Mm-hmm. Now, Wikipedia...
Or maybe an anti-Islam site. You might be reading an anti, you know, Islamophobic site.
True. True. Wikipedia has come a long way. A couple of decades ago, it was a joke to cite Wikipedia. But now Wikipedia can be used as a quick entry point to get a good overview of a subject. And then you can pursue the various links, which are provided within Wikipedia itself, to various other articles and other resources to go deeper into the subject. Because of the nature of that encyclopedia, it's possible for, you know, mistakes to be corrected. So if somebody has put something erroneous, somebody will come later on and correct it with better references and proper sources. So leaving aside websites, we look for reputable books.
Yeah, what kind of books? So we get that. I just got that question, you know, a couple of days ago. What sort of books should I read to learn more about Islam?
Yes. So the most important book is the Quran. And of course, the Quran is not an easy book for
a
non-Muslim to navigate through.
So do you think someone should start with the Quran, or do you think they should start with something else? For example, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad.
Biography of the Prophet is a good place to start, actually. And we can get our feet wet with that by reading something like Yahya Emmerich's Critical Lives, Life of Muhammad, which is available widely.
What is it called?
Critical Lives.
Okay.
It's under a series called Critical Lives, and this particular one is The Life of the Prophet Muhammad by Yahya Emmerich. Having mentioned his name, it might be worthwhile also to mention an introductory book on Islam called Islam for Dummies. Complete Idiot's Guide to Islam.
I've also found that book really useful.
Written also by Yahya Emmerich. There is a book entitled The New Muslims Field Guide by two female authors whose names escape me for the moment. One of them is Ummu Fado, or Fado, F-A-Y-D-O, something like this. D-A-Y-D-O. DIY, Om Data. So a new Muslims field guide. Although this is written for new Muslims, it will also be helpful for non-Muslims to get a preview of, like, what are the problems I can face if I then become a Muslim, and how to prepare for those and make sure they're not going to be problems for me. And books that introduce the Quran will be also very useful in this regard for a non-Muslim. A book written by Michael Sells entitled Approaching the Quran is a quick introduction and a very useful one to understanding the Quran before trying to read the book itself. Now, reading the Quran would be much facilitated if one were to use a modern commentary. I find Muhammad Asad's The Message of the Quran, that's the title of his commentary, to be very useful in this regard. So you have a translation usually printed side by side with the Arabic. A non-Muslim looking into Islam probably may not know the Arabic language, but having that volume will be useful later on when one becomes a Muslim and then starts to read the Arabic text with a little bit of training.
Where would someone find that book?
So this is widely available. Most of the online booksellers will have this, and you can find it wherever Muslim books are sold, like in bookshops that are annexed to mosques. Usually they will have a copy of this, The Message of the Quran. Mm-hmm. So what is useful also, and especially, are the footnotes that are there as commentaries on various verses of the Quran. Mm-hmm. A lighter commentary is the one by Yusuf Ali, which mostly is a spiritualizing commentary. And in the same vein, we find a modern one by Maulana Wahiduddin Khan. This is usually available for a lower price, and it's a very good one as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about somebody who is interested in finding someone else who can be a resource person or a mentor? Because, you know, you can't do it with books alone, right? It's mm-hmm. good to have somebody beside you who helps you along, answers your questions. How would you recommend the person find someone like that?
Yes. I would recommend going to an Islamic center in your hometown and pick one of the major ones, because there could be many smaller establishments, and it's not clear who you might meet there as a guide or as a mentor. But if you go to a major Islamic center, they will have a developed program where there are specializations. So somebody is specialized in leading the community, somebody specialized in various aspects of what it takes to run a community. And they may actually be somebody who is specialized in greeting non-Muslims to the mosque and giving information about the Islamic faith to non-Muslims and guiding new Muslims and mentoring new Muslims. So that would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, if someone's a woman, if a woman is interested in Islam, what sort of specific advice would you give her in terms of, you know, what sort of resource person to choose, which mosque to approach? Because, you know, there are some pitfalls that are particular to women. Women might face certain adversities that men might not.
Yes, there are actually some websites which are run by women and meant to be of guide to women. I don't have a specific one in mind at the moment, but obviously we have to become more familiar with all of these resources ourselves.
Would you say that it would be a good idea for a woman to find another woman to guide her along?
Yes, I think that would be useful, especially since in Islamic law there are many issues that differentiate between the genders. Mm-hmm. So it'll be useful to have a woman as a guide and as a mentor to help to navigate through all of these issues. At the same time, I want to advise both men and women who are looking into Islam to think from the top down, to think of God and God revealing his message to us and what that places on us human beings in terms of responsibility. Now, it is not our responsibility to follow other human beings. It is our responsibility to respond to God's message. Mm-hmm. So our aim then is to find God and find God's message and apply that in our own lives, given our own conscience. Mm-hmm. And often it may mean that we have to ignore what other people are saying, because mm-hmm. other people may be saying things that fit well with their own consciences, but do not fit sit well with our own. And we have to be true to our own conscience in trying to approach God and finding his revelation. So a case in point is that you may be dealing with a Muslim who is set in some cultural ways from another part of the world. And a non-Muslim, American, Canadian, Australian, or other, may find that I can't adapt to that culture. Those cultural expectations don't fit well with me. But what does that mean? Are you going to turn away from God because of that? No, you can reject that culture and still embrace God and God's revelation.
That's so nicely put. Thank you for saying that, Dr. Shapiro.
You're welcome.